That video. Yeah, give it up for our media team. They definitely captured the spirit of this new series we're beginning, because we've got a lot of junk that has come into our lives that we need to get out. We're starting a brand new series today called Detox, and it's all about unlearning the negative habits that we've learned over the last 5 months of 2020. And so we're glad that you are joining us here today. Thank you to everybody who's joining online. Thank you for everybody who's joining us here for the service today. I'd like to ask everybody who's here in the building, give a big shout out to everybody online today. Would you welcome everybody? Thank you so much. All right, we're so glad that you are here. And don't forget, we are starting small groups at about a month from now, and I have a dream of something that's never happened before, and that is 100% of our church in a group this fall. Did you see that reaction? That was great. Our group semesters are 10 weeks each, and so groups are groups 10 to 12, 14, some smaller, some a little bit bigger. And the idea is, yeah, we have these weekend gatherings that are super important, but it's just as important to be connected with other people that we can know, they can know our name, we're praying for each other, encouraging each other, walking through stuff together. Amen, everybody? And so if you've never been part of a group, or if you've been part of a group in the past, let me encourage you to go ahead and plan to be part of a group this fall. In order for that to happen, 100% to be in a group, we need about twice as many leaders as we typically do. So this is Coach Pastor Wayne putting on his recruiter hat, all right? Just call me Nick Saban, whoever else your coach is. You know, I need to recruit some of the best people, willing people who are willing to lead a group this fall. Now, if you've ever led a group in the past, you're qualified. If you've never led a group, we can help you learn how to make a group. So help us out. If you're interested in being a leader of a group, I want you to go to info.graceassembly.org, and there will be a tab there for group leader training or groups. Click on that, and we've got a couple different one-hour trainings to help you be part of a group. So how many will at least pray about it? You'll pray about leading a group this fall. This is the first altar call of the message, all right? I've got four people in the building, all right? There we go, peer pressure. At least you're going to pray about it. If you're not even going to pray about it, that's a separate spiritual issue. That's another series. We'll have to do all that, okay? But it's really important for us to be connected together. All right, now, I have been excited to begin this series for several weeks now, because I think this is a right now word, not just for our church. I think it's for our world right now, because in the past 5 months of 2020, we have a worldwide pandemic. We've been in quarantine. We've got all kinds of stuff going on, and we've really created some negative habits in our lives that if we continue those past 2020 or even beyond, it can really harm us spiritually, relationally, and even physically. And so I'd like to spend the next few weeks unlearning those negative habits and detoxing from some of the stuff that we've taken on in our lives. I'm talking about, first of all, we have spent the last 5 months learning to be afraid. And so that's what we're going to begin with today. We're going to begin to unlearn fear. And I think this one is so big, this is actually going to be a two-parter, all right? So we'll begin today with fear. We'll pick it back up again next week. But then I want to talk about digital detox, because most of us are on our phones or in front of screens more than ever before. And what we're learning is the more screens that are in front of my face, the more likely I am to be afraid. And the more likely it's harming me mentally. There is a mental health crisis that is growing in our world, and a lot of it has to do with this right here. All right? And then we're going to talk about grief. There's been a lot of loss in the last 5 months, and I'm not just talking about loss of life. There's been that too, but there's loss of jobs, loss of important things in our lives, and grief is a powerful emotion. And by the way, did you know that the first stage of grief is anger? I think this right here is a reason that a lot of people are just ticked off right now, because there's this grief, and so we'll be talking about that. I think we've learned isolation. Matter of fact, we've been commanded to be separate from other people. The problem is we weren't created to be separated. We were created to have human interaction. God is a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're created in the image of God. We're supposed to be with people, right? So we got to unlearn that in a healthy way. And then the last one we're going to deal with is pornography. Most people don't know that in the quarantine, many pornographic sites made their material free. So I think there's this underlying porn pandemic that we've got to address, and we got to detox from that. How many are glad you go to a church that's going to talk about stuff like this? Is that all right? So I just want to encourage you to join us every week, either in person or online. I want to encourage you to share this message with as many people as possible. I believe that this is God's word for us. Now, every week I'm going to start with some funny stuff, because I think one of the things that we got to unlearn is stop being so serious and offended. Let's have some fun. Is that all right? I saw this one. This is really good. To report someone for not wearing a mask, call 867-5309. Everybody over 40 gets that, all right? Don't you love it when I sing stuff to you? All right. 13, I'm the worst number. 666, no, I am. 2020, ha 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 ha. My 5-year plan is to make it through this year. Can I get a witness in the house of God? That's right. That's my 5-year plan. School started, right? School pictures this year going to be like. Okay, if you're not smiling yet, these are specifically for you. All right, two more. Single man with toilet paper seeks single woman with hand sanitizer for good, clean fun. All right, now you're getting it. One more, here we go. Have we tried putting 2020 in rice? All right, so let's talk about fear. One of the habits that we've learned in 2020 is we have learned to be afraid. And so I want to talk about learning to not be afraid. Scott Hagen is the president of North Central University, and which is our partner school for Indy School of Leadership here at our church. He was here a few months ago, and we were talking about this. He said, you know, the difference between this year and 9/11, he goes, think about 9/11. We were basically trained to be afraid of a Middle Eastern person. Whenever we saw them, we would be afraid. He goes, and it took some time for us to unlearn that. He goes, in 2020, we're learning to be afraid of all human beings. You see them in the grocery store. You see, I'm afraid, you know, don't be within 6 feet of me, right? And so we have to unlearn that. Now, let me start off right off the top and remind you that fear all fear is not bad. Matter of fact, I think there's a difference between healthy fear and unhealthy fear. The difference between unhealthy fear, healthy fear, by the way, is a gift from God because it protects us. It protects us from danger. There are some things that we should be afraid of. Unhealthy fear, however, paralyzes us. Healthy fear is because of there are legitimate threats. Unhealthy fear is unrealistic threats. There's this what if, our imagination goes crazy. Healthy fear is instinctive, it's God-given, but there's an unhealthy fear that is learned. It's not God-given. Healthy fear is rational, unhealthy fear is irrational. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that kind of fear is wisdom, but unhealthy fear is not about wisdom, it's about control. And this is the unhealthy fear that we want to detox from, and this is what I'm talking about that in these next couple of weeks. And so the difference between healthy fear and unhealthy fear is kind of like this. When I was teaching my boys to drive, I would remind them that when they get behind the wheel of a car, they're now sitting behind in a several thousand ton missile made of steel that when it goes at 55 miles an hour, hopefully not faster, it has the power to kill somebody or them. So we have to have a healthy fear. But that doesn't mean that we should be afraid to drive. Now, I learned this lesson when I was a teenager. I was driving home from work one day, and an 80-year-old man ran a stop sign and T-boned me. I was going full speed. He never stopped, never slowed down. He T-boned me, spun my car in the air, and when it landed, I had hit the curb so hard that it tore off part of my tire from the rim. There was not a scratch on me. That's another story. But I knew I knew I needed to get back in a car as soon as possible. Otherwise, I was going to allow that fear to come upon me. And so I was back in a car that night. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't go through intersections a little bit slower than I did before. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the difference between healthy fear and unhealthy fear. An unhealthy fear says I'm never going to drive again. A healthy fear respects the power of what I have. So what we need to detox from is not unhealthy fear. We need to detox from the spirit of fear. And that is what we have to be super careful about in 2020, that we don't learn to be afraid. Matter of fact, I think the fear virus could be more dangerous than coronavirus. Now, what I'm not saying is that coronavirus is not a big deal. It's a big deal. And there is a healthy fear that we should operate in about coronavirus because people die. I have been to funerals of people who have died of COVID. People that I love have died of COVID. So we should be smart. We should have a healthy fear of that. So it's not fearful to be careful. It's not fearful to wear a mask. But what I am talking about is a spirit of fear that controls us. See, I think we've actually become more fearful than we need to be. And the reason is a lot of our fear is amplified because of technology, because of screens, media, social media, those types of things. My son, Braden, turned me on to a book by Jefferson Bethke called Jesus is Greater Than Religion. And in the book, he says that many of the top 10 fears people have this year can be directly correlated to the top media stories of the year. There's actually a science to this. The things that we're afraid of are the things that we're hearing about all the time, which reminds me of this quote from Thomas Jefferson that the man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers. And you might want to substitute social media right there, okay? We live in an attention economy. We'll talk a lot about this when we talk about digital detox. But the economy that you and I live in is an attention economy. Now, what that means is that the more news, social media, the more they can get us to look at a screen, the longer they can get us to look and engage with a screen, the more money they make. So every social media site is designed. There are super smart people whose goal it is to keep you looking at this as long as possible. And the reason is because money, 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 money. Now, because of that, there is, I like to call it, others have called it the age of hyperbole. Now, hyperbole is a it means exaggerating for a rhetorical purpose. Okay, Pastor, speak English. All right, let me give you an illustration of the weather. You know, we used to have good weather, bad weather. You know, but because we live in the age of hyperbole and everybody's trying to get our attention, now we don't have bad weather, we have extreme weather. We don't have changes in atmospheric pressure, we have bomb cyclones. We don't have cold snaps, we have polar vortexes. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And because of that, we live in a culture of sensationalism. The whole goal is to get us to look, to get us to click, to get us to stay, to pay attention as long as possible. Now, that's a whole other message that we'll deal with in a couple weeks, but what the result can be is a spirit of fear. So how do we unlearn that? Well, I think we can learn it from David in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in the Old Testament. I think we see the template for how do you deal with a spirit of fear. Okay, let me set this up for you. This is in the Old Testament. So David and Goliath, Israel is the nation that God had brought out of Egypt. And the Philistines were kind of like their arch enemy. Okay, it's like, if you're a wrestling fan, it's like Jerry the King Lawyer and Terry Funk. Batman and the Joker, oh, I don't know, whatever. But they're arch enemies. I'm just trying to relate to everybody here today. You're welcome. I'm trying, all right? And so here you have on one side, there's this valley. And on one side, you've got the army of Israel all encamped. On the other side, you've got the army of the Philistines all encamped. And they are arch enemies. And so in the middle is this valley. And so let's pick up the story. Here we go. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp, and he was over 9 feet tall. Now, some commentators believe that Goliath was as much as 10 feet tall. So this is a big dude. And again, if you use your imagination, you know, he's probably ugly. You know, he probably smelled. The Bible doesn't say all that. I'm just thinking there. And so, I mean, if you think video games, think of the villain that you create, you know, with this super soldier with 99 power in every area. I'm just trying to help you. And so Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel. So he steps up and he begins to shout to these people on the hillside. And what's he saying? He said, hey, he goes, you pick a guy and come out and fight me. And if I win, you guys serve us. And if he wins against me, then we'll serve you. Kind of like a battle of champions. Okay? And so the Bible says that on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So the Bible says they were afraid. Now obviously Goliath, that was the whole purpose of sending Goliath out there, is to scare the living daylights out of him. And the Bible says he did it every day for 40 days. Every morning and every night, the Philistine champion strutted. That's why I use the New Living Translation right there. He just strutted out in front of the Israelite army. What's he trying to do? He's trying to scare them. So Goliath's voice was the voice of fear for 40 days. Now, earlier this week, I received an email from a lady whose family attended our church a while back, and they moved away. I want to read part of it to you. She said, I don't know if you remember, but during our 21-day fast in 2003, there was something you said about the last days and that it was going to make many people have great fear, even to people who seem strong and even some in the church. And what we needed to do is to draw closer to the Lord and stay intimate with Jesus. But that word from the Lord that you gave has always stayed with me. In March, when everything began shutting down this year, I felt in my spirit that this was something different than the tragedies and plagues of the past. I feel like the Lord is waking us up to be prepared for the bridegroom Jesus to come and get his bride, the church. Recently, the Holy Spirit put a message on my heart about 1 Samuel 17, that for 40 days, Goliath came out and stood at the battle line, shouting the same exact words each morning and each evening. Same message, every day, morning and night, 40 days. And the Israelite armies were trembling in fear, hiding in their tents. Now, the day the Lord gave this to me, it had been exactly 129 days since the U.S. had started the stay-at-home shutdown. For 129 days, we had been listening to the same message being shouted at us each day, morning and night, over and over again. And each day, we, the people, and even the church, had grown more fearful as each day has passed. Now, I'm sharing this with you as a confirmation because I had already planned to preach this message. And it was just a confirmation that Goliath's voice is the voice of fear. And just like the people of Israel, we have been hearing every day for about 5 months now, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. And so along comes David to this scene. Now, David is not a soldier. Matter of fact, David is a teenager. Some scholars believe as young as 12. Everybody believes he was younger than 20. So let's say he's probably 15, 16 years old. And he's a shepherd, not a soldier. And he's basically the Old Testament version of DoorDash. Trying to make this relevant to you. He's bringing food to his brothers who are part of this scene in this battle. And so he comes up on the scene, and here's what happens. David heard Goliath shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. And as soon as the Israelite army saw him, Goliath, they began to run away in fright. And they said, "Have you seen the giant?" the men ask. I want you to notice that the voice of Goliath, the voice of fear, now became their voice. They were repeating the same things Goliath was saying. "We can't do this. Be afraid, be afraid. Be very afraid." They're even telling David. And let me just take a moment and encourage everybody that I think we too in 2020 have learned to repeat the same words, the same spirit of fear. "I heard, I read." Come on, somebody. We got to be careful not to be the voice of fear. We'll talk more about that next week. And so I like what Miles McPherson said about this. He said, when David faced Goliath, he didn't talk about how dangerous Goliath was. He talked about how great God is. Don't talk fear. Talk faith. Amen? Amen? Matter of fact, David said this as a result. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So David's response to Goliath's threat, to the voice of fear, was righteous, holy boldness. He says, and he goes on to say, he said to the king, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Basically saying, "I'll do it. I'll take him on." And look at what Saul says. Saul said, "You can't do this." The voice of fear says, "You can't." The voice of fear says, "You can't start this business. You can't do this in 2020. You can't, you can't, you can't." Saul's saying, "You can't, David, because you can't go out and fight this Philistine because you're only a boy, because you're only this, because you're only that." And he's been a fighting man from his youth. Now, I want you to notice that instead of being afraid, David's spirit began to be raised up. And I want you to notice his response, because this really encapsulates today's message. He says to them, "Is there not a cause?" I think this is powerful because David is saying, "Guys, there's a cause bigger than one fight going on here. This man, Goliath, is defying the armies of the living God. And God called Israel out of Egypt. And he set them free. And he redeemed them so that Israel could be a light to the nations. God did this for us so that we could show the whole world the glory of God. Lean in and get this today. You see, David is saying Goliath is not just standing against this army on this day. Goliath is standing against the very purpose for which you and I were born. He is challenging God's purpose in our lives. Is there not a cause? You see, David didn't see this as a challenge between a 9-foot mega demon super soldier against a puny little 5-foot nothing redheaded teenager. He saw this as the enemies of God challenging the purposes of the living God. See, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. He was close to God. He knew his purpose. And this behemoth of Goliath was challenging those very purposes. And so David was willing to face the risk because of purpose, because of God's purpose in their lives. I'm trying to tell you that your cause, your purpose, your calling is what gives you courage to face your fear and to accomplish what God has called you to do. That's God's heart. I've only got one point in today's message. That's why it's two parts. Because the other two parts are next week. But here's today. Replace fear with purpose. I think this is what we learn from this passage, that we don't want to just unlearn fear. We want to learn to walk with purpose. Let's replace fear with purpose. Because God did not create you to live a safe life, to just take up space from zero to the grave and say, wasn't that nice? God did not create you and me to not take risk, to just live this life, to get up and do what we do, go to bed, repeat ad infinitum until your funeral. I'm trying to tell you that God called you to live a life of purpose. And living life on purpose takes risks. Matter of fact, life is full of risk. Getting out of bed in the morning means you're taking a risk. Science backs me up. 16,000 people a year die from falling out of bed. Cooking is a risk. 2,000 people worldwide are injured every year trying to pry apart frozen foods. Have you ever tried to pry apart those frozen hamburgers? You grab that knife and, oh man, I mean, I've done that. Another 30 people every year in the United States are injured as a result of grill gas fires. Trying to speed up that charcoal, you know, and say, pfft. Doing yard work is a risk. One study found that 80,000 people end up in the hospital every year to be treated for lawnmower-related injuries. You could walk, go for a walk in your neighborhood. How many know you're taking a risk? You could sprain an ankle. Having a baby is a risk. You know, at some point in every pregnancy, I can't speak this from firsthand knowledge, but I'm married to a person who had two babies. At some point in the pregnancy, there's this realization. There's only one way out of this. And it involves a lot of pain. But how many know the baby's worth the risk? You can't get a job without a risk. You might get turned down. You can't start a business without taking the risk it might fail. You can't get involved in any relationship without taking the risk of getting hurt. Amen, everybody? The reward is worth the risk. I think living a life without taking risk is worse. Let me put it this way. The biggest risk in life is not taking one. A few months ago, we had the opportunity to partner with Project Rescue, with Beth Grant, David Grant, to rescue women from human trafficking forever. Our church responded in a huge way. Thank you again for doing that. But if you had a chance to watch my interview with Beth Grant, she was telling a story that when the pandemic began, she was like everybody else, and they were quarantined stateside. But most of the workers in Project Rescue were on the ground in India, Pakistan, Southern Asia, Europe, Northern Africa, And so their meetings were Zoom meetings, like all of us. And she got in the habit at the end of every Zoom meeting to say to her team, stay safe, stay safe. And she said to me in that interview, she says, you know, after a few days of this, a few weeks of this, God really convicted me. She said, God never called us to play safe. We're here to rescue people from death to life. It always involves taking a risk. And the purpose for which we live gives us the courage to take the risk and to face our fear. If you feel like fear is controlling you or manipulating you, let me challenge you to ask this question that David asked. Is there a cause? Is there a purpose in my life? Why was I born? Why was I created? Was I created to live life, get a job, do all these things and die? No, 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 no. I was created just like Israel to be a light to the nations. I was called out of darkness to be saved, to know God, and then find freedom so that I could discover my purpose. Why? So I could be a light to the nations and make a difference in this world from the time till I go to heaven. Amen? That's what God has created us to do. You see, Pastor, I'm not sure what my purpose is. Well, let me give it to you if you didn't know it. My purpose is to serve God. How do I serve God? By serving other people. By making a difference in their life in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you getting this today? I don't live for me. My life doesn't exist for me. God created me to make a difference. He designed me on purpose to meet a need in this world. And I got to find out what that is and make that difference. And when I do that, I'll be just like David and I can take on Goliath. I can overcome fear and do what God's called me to do. So here's a couple ideas. What if, instead of consuming so much social media, what if you walked across the street, knocked on your neighbor's door, and said, hey, how you doing? How can I help you? Is there anything you need? How can I pray for you? What if this week you called 10 people? Whoever, 10 people. Maybe it's 10 people that you haven't seen for a while. Church has reconvened, but you haven't seen their faces for a while. Hey, how you doing? How's it going? How can I pray for you? And then actually pray for them? Or what if this week, maybe even today, you go to the grocery store, you buy $50 worth of groceries, and buy the staples, milk, bread, whatever. And then just drive around your neighborhood or some other neighborhood and say, Holy Spirit, who needs this food? And just listen on purpose. And listen to the voice of God and see if there's an impression in your spirit to leave it on somebody's porch. Leave a note that says, hey, the Lord led me to bring this food to you. Just wanted to encourage you. God bless. You can put your name. You don't have to put your name. You can put your phone number. You don't have to put your phone number. Are you taking a risk? Sure. A dog might bark at you really bad. But you know what you're doing? You're taking the risk of faith, of purpose. Are you getting this? Those of you that have students that are online only this year, or maybe you're homeschooling for the first time, perhaps every week this year, you put it in your schedule with your kids that you're going to serve somebody together. Maybe it's walking your neighborhood, raking leaves, mowing grass, picking up stuff. Maybe it's visiting a nursing home where people haven't had a visitor for 5 months. And maybe you just walk around and knock on the windows and wave. I guarantee they will love it. Maybe you just make homemade cards. We love you. God bless you. Whatever it is, I'm trying to tell you, this is how you overcome fear, is by finding purpose. Amen, everybody? Now, just yesterday, I saw a post from Megan Modlin, who is a nurse who attends our church. And I asked her permission to share this. I think this is perfect for what we're talking about here today. She says, to all my teacher friends, from the nurses, dear teachers, we were terrified. We weren't ready. We didn't know what was to come. We didn't want to change our ways. We couldn't imagine what each day would look like. We were stressed exhausted, overwhelmed, and anxious. Fast forward 5 months. We're okay. We have adapted. We're stronger together. We're essential. We feel our worth. We make a difference, and others know it. And we're proud to go to work. I know many of you return to work this week or will in the next few weeks, and it is scary, but I promise it will be okay. Be flexible, be strong, be creative, and be proud, because you are so needed. That's right. Thank you, Megan. Come on, give a big God bless you to every teacher who's going back to school. Amen. Tuesday night in our online prayer service, we're going to be specifically focusing on teachers. I want you to join us at 6:45 online, and we're going to be praying for every teacher in our community. We're going to believe that. And I just want to say a big thank you and God bless you to all the medical professionals, nurses, doctors. Come on, just say thank you for leading the way in this. I'm trying to tell you today that God created you on purpose. And God has called you with a purpose. You say, Pastor, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, first of all, you're not alone. One survey said that up to 87% of born-again Christians in America don't know why they were born. They don't know their purpose. Now, that's one of the reasons we keep talking about Growth Track around here. Growth Track is a step that we want everybody to take to. It's specifically designed to help you figure out what your purpose is, what you're designed to do, your skills, your talents, your spiritual gifts, that kind of thing. Because we feel like everybody is born on purpose, that God has a purpose for your life. And you haven't been part of Growth Track yet. Let me encourage you to go ahead and be part of that. You're going to find the information, info.graceassembly.org. I think you guys are starting to realize that's the place to get every bit of information, right? So you say, Pastor, I've done Growth Track and I still don't know what my purpose is. Well, do it again. All right, let's see if it works this time. I think if your purpose is just to get through life, to avoid risk, and to avoid danger at all costs, you're not really living at all. If your purpose is just to have fun, or be entertained, or gain the most attention or followers on social media, then you're going to have a difficult time overcoming fear. Look at what Martin Luther King said. Even if they try to kill you, you develop the inner conviction that there are some things so precious, some things so eternally true, that they're worth dying for. And if a person has not found something to die for, that person isn't fit to live. Wow. Let me close with this story, and then we're going to pray. A few years ago, I was on a missions trip to Northern Africa. Our church partnered with several other churches to start a ministry center in an a Muslim-dominated country. And so part of that included us going to this city in Northern Africa. And this was the place that we were, was the birthplace of the Arab Spring. A little bit of history. Remember, the Arab Spring broke out, and a lot of longtime secular Muslim governments came toppling down, including this one. The problem was that made way for ISIS to grow and to dominate much of that part of Northern Africa, and that was the case here in this country that we were. So on this particular day, we were going to go to church. A Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. Now, to go to the church, let me back up and say that ISIS had threatened this specific church just the day before, that they were going to destroy it. We took that to mean they were going to blow it up. Oh, that's the church we're going to today. Great. So we get on a bus, and they drop us off a few blocks from the church because there were probably 10, 12, 14 of us. You know, a bunch of American people walking around, that's going to attract some attention. And they didn't want people following us, so we broke up into smaller groups and we all met at the church. So we go into service, and I'll be honest with you, that's the most distracted in a service I think I've ever been. I mean, worship started, everything's in Arabic, worship's in Arabic. preaching's in Arabic. Preacher was long-winded, but that's another story. But I spent most of my time in the service with my head on a swivel. You know, and honestly asking the question, am I going to die today? If they come through that door, what do I do? Do I, you know, and I was talking with another pastor who was with me, and he's like, you know, I was figuring out, you know, if there are dead bodies, I'm going to use them as shields. And I'm like, man. That's just how he thought. Too many video games, I think. I'm not sure. But as I was looking around, I'll never forget. Worship, you know what they were doing? They were worshiping. Hands high. Singing to the Lord. That pastor was preaching so passionate, and he went long. He wasn't worried about the time. If they were afraid, I didn't know it. I didn't see it. There's probably about 75 other people there besides us. And I just walked away from there just challenged. Because the cause of gathering together as the body of Christ was worth the risk of losing their lives. Some things are important. Some things are very important. And they're worth the risk. So let's pray. Jesus, speak to us. Speak to us about our purpose. Speak to us about the reason we were born. Father, I pray for anyone here, anybody watching online that battles fear. We've learned to be afraid. Help us to unlearn to be afraid. Would you begin to pray right now for yourself? God, I pray for the spirit of David. The same spirit that came on David that day when he had the chance to face Goliath. I pray, Lord, that that same spirit, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason I was born? I was born for this. I was made for this. Esther faced the king because Mordecai said, were you not born for such a time as this? Come on, Jesus. Birth in me a spirit. Give me something bigger than me. Give me something to live for, bigger than attention, bigger than fun, bigger than not being bored. Give me a purpose in my heart. Put a fire in my spirit. Open my eyes to the needs around me. And God, help me make a difference in the lives of other people. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're watching online or you're here and you just say, you know what, Pastor, this message is for me. Fear is something that I think I've learned. I think the spirit of fear is trying to control me, and I want to unlearn this. I want to detox from this. I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to be controlled by fear. I want to be led of the Spirit. I want to be filled with purpose here today. Raise your hand real high if that's you. Come on, raise your hand real high if that's you. I think that's most of us here today. Amen. 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 God, I pray for every person with their hand raised. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would birth new purpose in their hearts. And God, that you would break off the spirit of fear, break off the spirit of intimidation. Anybody that's struggling with nightmares or night terrors or fear that tries to control or dominate, we come against it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we believe for freedom. We believe for hope. We believe for purpose and power from the Holy Spirit, the same spirit that gave the apostles courage to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the middle of threats. God, give us courage in 2020 to do what you've called us to do, to speak up, to share Jesus' love with everyone around us. God, that's what we pray for, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Let me talk to the people taking the greatest risk of all. See, I think there's some of you that every day you get up, you take a risk, and the risk is you're not right with God. You haven't surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, and you risk every day that you'll go into eternity without Jesus Christ. The result of going to eternity without Jesus is eternal damnation in hell. I know that's harsh, but that's true. And you're taking the greatest risk of all. And so today, can I challenge you? to get right with God, to surrender to Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back. These are the last days. There is a battle going on for your soul. Today you should surrender your heart and life to Jesus. And can I tell you that to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you'll fear the Lord, you'll find that the fear of man will go away and the fear of things will go away as you begin to just fear Him and trust Him and follow Him today. If that's you, I want you to pray this with me and take a so important step, a step of salvation, step of repentance, walking away from the life that you've been living and following Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you pray this prayer out loud with me and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. From this day forward, I'm following you. I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save my eternal soul. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power to make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God praise for men and women making the greatest decision of their life. Can't patty cake for that. No golf clap for that. Come on, somebody give God praise. People are coming home. God's doing a good work.